I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of Hello Steve-O podcast. Thank you to everybody who's listening and thank you to everybody who's sharing about the podcast. This is going to be a short introduction because, not to put too fine a point in it, and if you have kids in the background and you can turn this down and you've got pre-warning for the bad use of language here, because I am fucking exhausted. But I have to say, it's in a good way. I've realised in the last few days that things are changing, and I think that's good, and you just have to embrace it. But things come out of the blue, out of the woodwork, and you just don't know where you are from one minute to the next when you when you work for yourself. As lots of you know, this week I got offered some work on Irish radio, so I was on 2FM, or I have been on 2FM every day this week, and just for this week, just doing a segment, but there is some work involved in the morning before you go in to do the piece on the radio. It's been good fun and I've enjoyed it, and just other work has popped up as well, which is great. I'm very, very grateful for it. And I am in kind of early stage chats about making some stuff for TV. So I'm delighted about all that kind of stuff, and that's great. And not to mention the fact that I'm still in the middle of my stand-up comedy tour. So it's all good. I'm absolutely not complaining, but I'm not getting the sleep in. And I'm kind of walking around a bit zombified, but getting the work done in that weird kind of a way. And that's why this podcast has come out later on in the week than it usually does. Now, when I did bring it back, I didn't make any commitments. I didn't start the Patreon. I didn't do any of that kind of stuff because I just wanted to see how it would go moving forward. And the reality is, if I keep making Hello Steve-O podcast on its own, it's just not going to keep going, because I edit, I produce, I get people in, I record it, I do everything to do with it. And I remember doing if I was to sit down and do the working hours of it, it does take to make one episode probably got at least half a day's work, if not more, which I'm not complaining about. I love doing it. But when you're getting other work, I can't keep making Hello Steve-O podcast, if that makes sense. So this week's episode is up and there is another one already in the can. But from then on, I won't be committing right now unless I get a producer on board and I get a team that want to make it full time. I can't be doing it once a week. So that doesn't mean that's not gone. I'll still be there to check in with you, and I'll still be there to make you bits and pieces from time to time. I love having comedians on, so I will continue to do it, but probably more sporadic in the way that it comes out. So thank you for listening, and thank you for I did check up the rating on Spotify, actually, and I said 4.8 something. That means somebody did not give it a 5-star rating. Whoever that is, go fuck yourself, okay? This is little tiny independent made podcast. Go fuck yourself. From the bottom of my heart. So all is well. What has happened with the gigs of late? I'm on the road with Deirdre O'Kane now on her tour at the moment. So that's busy. Had two fantastic shows in Ratoath last week. Also had the Limerick show in Dolans, which was brilliant. A great crack. Thank you to everyone in Limerick. I feel like, oh, DeBars and Clonakilty. That was the last one I did. Like, that was, I did the driving on the night. 7 hours of driving. And a show in between. So, that you know, that's been, and I haven't had a day off since that. So that was 10 days ago or something. But it was a brilliant show. I loved it. And thank you to Jade. If you were there, you know what happened. I embarrassed myself massively, but we all laughed about it in the end. I didn't spot that Jade was Chinese, basically, and thought she was the sister. Anyway, let's not get into it here. It's not going to make sense. And I will get cancelled. So thank you to everybody in DeBarra's. Coming up on my tour, it's Kilkenny, it's Dublin. Please do share about my show in Dublin on June the 6th. That's on a Thursday. Get your tickets on www.thestephenmullen.com. And that is all, really. I'm going to Glasgow as well, May the 9th. Tickets are selling well in Glasgow, so I'm delighted about that. I'm really looking forward to getting over there. That is it. I have nothing else to say. I can't keep talking. You've got a fantastic episode. I really enjoyed making this one with Bláthnaid Burke. She's quite the ticket, quite the tonic. She made a brilliant documentary that is on the RTE player now called The Irish for Sex. You should check it out. I'm putting a link to her social media to follow her on Instagram and to watch the documentary on the RTE player. The links will be in the description to this podcast. Enjoy the show. I hope you're all well. Thank you for all the messages. Sorry I haven't been as active on social media, but keep sending me messages. I will get back to you when I can. You're all great. I hope you're having a good week. And I hope this episode really cheers you up because it's a fun one. Let's do this.
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
Did somebody... How are you, my little flower?
Yes, I get that all the time. Which I don't mind that, but I do mind people being like, oh, so your name is Little Flower. It's like, no.
No, it's Bláthnaid.
But it's just like the translation.
Translation?
Yeah, because Bláthnaid means flower, and if you put een on the end of anything, it makes it small.
Sorry, I did say that, didn't I? I did say, is there an English for that? As opposed
to,
what's the English for it?
Yeah, you said an English translation.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you
exactly.
said it
the fucking right way. Did you hear that? We can check our hair in a second.
I mean, yeah, can I
it's
check recording my hair?
I'm just out of the shower. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Hello Stevo Podcast with my special guest today. She is famous for making a documentary on riding.
Yes, not quite.
The Irish for Sex, Riding, sorry. It's Bláthnaid de Burke, sorry.
Oh, is he?
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good to have you on there. It's not solely what she's famous for, it's me being a goof.
It's classic, you thought that you're saying it's a documentary about riding, which makes it sound like it was a porno.
So yeah, that does. I didn't think that at all.
That one didn't come out publicly, so.
You know, OnlyFans. People have said to me, would you do, like, I mean, I just mean as a comedian, OnlyFans, is that a thing?
I've done a little bit of, but it's been very tasteful and stuff like that,
jokes or just kind of?
No, well, I've done a bit of, so we're going straight into something else. I've done a bit of the stuff that I wouldn't want to put on Instagram. But you see, I have got a fan base of like people that are looking for that all the time.
Wow.
Anyway, so it was kind of easy for me in that sense. And then like anything, I just kind of got bored of putting stuff up and it didn't feel as fun anymore.
Because OnlyFans is not just necessarily a sexual thing. There's all sorts of stuff on there. So I just meant it from like a comedic point of view. Really?
Yeah.
Like
I like to write.
So you wrote essays and then you read them out on it, or?
No, I just like put them up.
Right. I was thinking of doing that as well.
Yeah, I read them out topless. No. No, but there's nothing, like, I mean, I all respect
and
anyone.
And then you quiz everyone at the end. What was that essay about? What? There was an essay.
Yeah, exactly. But no, like, I definitely, all respect to everybody that does everything on OnlyFans. So yeah, it's there to do anything.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think I have anything that... But I mean, there's all like, did you see the woman on Good Morning Britain a few months ago? She farts in a jar. Or I don't even think she farts into a jar. I think she just farts. It's the sound. And she's making a fortune.
It's not it's the smell, isn't it, that they're trying to get?
Is it, right?
Yeah, they're trying to open it and be like,
yeah.
Fair play to her.
Oh, no, there's no.
I would like to be able to buy a house with farts.
Absolutely. Imagine we got paid for farting.
Like, that'd be great.
I don't think. I just realised I'm not like, I didn't even think about, I'm pretty much in my pyjamas here. I didn't get dressed or whatever, but I'm late for the pickup. Anyway, let's keep focused because that's something that both of us struggle with. So obviously Bláthnaid is a stand-up comedian, but I did watch your documentary recently
called The Irish for Sex. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the inspiration for going and doing that, or why you went to do that. Well, which I knew it from as a kid. I remember I didn't Google, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it is Gnas, isn't it?
It is Gnas.
Gnas. Gnas. Yes!
Get out.
Yeah.
You failed the test.
Sorry. My Gaelga is so bad.
Really?
I'm way more Spanish.
You've got a kid.
Yeah, I speak Portuguese with her.
Yeah.
I know, it's terrible.
Oh, that's cool though. Yeah. You've got some languages, so you'll be able to learn more.
Yeah, my local cafe speaks them in Spanish. It's terrible.
That's great.
But nobody's ever taught me, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And also, like, it means that you can watch the documentary and actually learn some stuff.
I totally did. But you're a passionate Gaelgor.
Yes. So I've worked through Irish for about 10 years now. And then, so this, the thing is that I...
Yeah, sorry, so you've spoken it your whole life.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, it's like, I mean, see, to me, it's a privilege for sure. But like, it's not something that's, you know...
Yeah.
I didn't have to put any skill into
Yeah, that's true.
I was just brought up speaking it. So everything that we got...
So the people who brought you up just spoke in Irish to you all the time?
My parents.
Yeah. I was just checking. You have to be very careful these days. I don't know.
You do. No, I have parents, yes.
Did they speak solely Irish, or how did they mix it up, or
no,
what worked?
It was both. So anywhere that we got in English, we got in Irish as well. And then sometimes we got it in French or Spanish if they knew us.
Fantastic.
That kind of thing. It was just kind of like, oh, they knew we were sponges and we just needed to get everything at that time. And so my dad is... in love with the Irish language. My mom was brought up as well speaking it.
Wow.
So it was very much a passion thing as well.
And they're both dubs, or they're...
My mom is a dub from Ballymun Santry, and she was brought up speaking it. And then ironically, my dad's the guy from the country.
Right.
Well, he's from Waterford. He's like, Waterford's a city. Okay. whatever. No, I'm a real dub, like, as well. I know you're from Cork, so we're apparently supposed to have a rivalry.
Yeah, but I can't,
I have a personality, so I don't really worry about that stuff.
Exactly. I'm so with you on that stuff. Yeah. It's like everybody in Ireland is obsessed what county they come from. Unless you're into Ga, who gives a fuck?
When I'm doing the whole, like, no, I'm from Dublin, so I don't know that. It's actually more insulting myself than the other person. I'm like, they'll be like, do you know the blah 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 road? And I'm like, I'm from Dublin. I just
can you keep talking, because I'm just going to close this window at the same time.
No problem.
Just heard the neighbor's door.
Imagine they're all like.
That's like, oh my God, is that Blaine de Burke? Is that the Irish for sex next?
Imagine. No. But yeah, it was actually Animo TV that day. It was the producers there, wonderful, wonderful women, Emma and Maya, and they had come up with this idea. And then I think they had seen me do comedy or something.
Right.
So they approached me. It wasn't my idea. And I credit where it's due.
Okay.
It was, when they approached me, it was as if it was written for me. Like, you know,
yeah.
It was as if, like, because first of all, it's to do with the Irish language. Second of all, there was a bit of comedy. It's about sex.
Yeah. And the best way to talk about something like that in this country is to have some lightheartedness about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, yeah. And so, yeah, it was every... And etymology of words and stuff like that, which I love. Like
etymology.
Etymology, as in where words came from or what,
right.
you know, or even where they went.
That's right. Sense. I saw a lot in the documentary. That was fascinating. So they must have written the concept of the documentary with you in mind.
I think they did, but like it was with me in mind as in a possible presenter. They probably had like other people, but when they approached me, I was like, I remember getting the email and they described it in the email and I was reading it being like, they better be fucking, because they had said throughout the email, we've chosen a presenter, we wanted a presenter.
Yeah, like it better be me. Yeah.
Like,
not another role. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They better not be asking me to be an extra.
Yeah. I get you.
Which one, I still would have done it, but I was like.
I find that fascinating because in watching it and when I saw it advertised and I saw the ad for it and then I went to watch it, I was just like, I just assumed that you had come up with the whole concept.
I know, yeah.
Because it's very you.
It's very me.
Because you're passionate about sex as well.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, I guess everybody should be passionate about sex. Be having good sex, for God's sake. But
For God's sake. Can I tell you about one of the first times I met you? The conversation? No?
Oh. Well, I mean, do. And then...
I'm not editing that as well, Blaheen. Come on, it's not that bad.
No.
It was, I won't name names, right? Except you and I were there, right?
Yeah,
we were on the same lineup in a comedy club. And I can't remember if we were talking to each other. It was one of those mixy uppy things where people are crossing over and chatting to each other after the gig.
Yeah.
And there was another.
Where was the gig?
In Whelan's.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. No, I do. Upstairs. I know one. I know what you're gonna say.
Yeah, do you?
I'm
yeah. And you started talking to this other guy who I'm not sure if he was a comedian or not, and you were like, yeah, well, that's like, you just basically started talking about fucking each other, and I thought it was just a joke. And then you said to me, I was kind of like an observer of this conversation. I don't know how I ended up at the spot, and you're like, it's okay, we used to bang each other. You said, we fucked in a tent in his parents' garden. His mother hates me.
It wasn't in his mother's garden. It was at Electric Picnic, and then his parents walked in because they were staying in the same tent, and he hadn't let me know that.
You were at Electric Picnic with a guy, and his parents were, you were all in the same tent.
Yeah, well, no, it was a big tent.
Right, okay.
In my defense.
Amazing. Amazing.
But I didn't know that he would stay, that his parents were also staying in the same tent with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we had, like, he had basically.
So he didn't say anything.
He didn't say anything.
You're like in the middle of, he's like, you don't want to keep it down there. My mom's a light sleeper.
His parents weren't there and they walked in during.
Oh my God.
The act. And his mom was just kind of like really nice about it. His dad genuinely looked at me as if he was disappointed in me. Like, he was proud of his son. But he was like, you can do better than my son. That was the look that was on his face.
I love that, yeah. You can do better than my son.
I can do better than all y'all sons, okay? But the problem is, that's the sons you're raising and sending out. Also, fuck women. So,
Oh, sorry. just to let it all be known out there.
Yeah, I also
keep your options open.
Yeah,
she's greedy. Okay.
That's the second time this week that you said, or in a week that you said that.
Stop bringing up stop bringing up, number one, the fact that I've repeated a joke within 24 hours, within 48 hours. That's the most insulting thing about that. No, that's not even my joke. The guy, actually, the street artist I was telling you about, that he calls bisexuals greedy.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do.
I don't know if it was the first time we met, because in comedy it's very hard to know
when the first time we met. Thank God you didn't tell the other story that I thought you could.
What was the other one?
It was another one, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because that does involve.
Was it in? Was it in the basement comedy club close to here?
No. What are you thinking of? Anytime that someone goes, do you remember? I tell the story with you in it? And I'm like, go on ahead, because I don't fucking remember. Like, I don't remember yesterday.
What's the bad? So there's a worse one between you and me?
No, not between. I don't know. I don't think that's the thing. I thought you were going to tell a different one. And I was like, I didn't know that you were there that night, but I'm bad at that.
You literally turned to me and said, it's okay, we used to fuck. Why is somebody's hair up on the wall? Look at this.
Is that mine?
I don't think so.
Imagine it was one of my cats. Do you remember what I was saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's it's just a funny way to put it, saying I am passionate about sex.
Yes, you were. I always say that from, not that we wouldn't have even hung out that much, but just from your social media.
I'm just very open and very like outspoken. And it is, I kind of sometimes, like, I've been accused of talking like a man in the fact that I'm just not.
I wouldn't say that. I love it. Yeah. I mean, I'm not criticizing it at all.
I know.
You're like, it's like, I think it's great.
Yeah.
Because I am quite open about talking about it, but I wouldn't be on social media, for example, or stuff like that. But I don't think you talk about
I'm not talking about it in a seedy way.
Not
it's
at all.
Kind of like open.
Totally.
And on stage, I talk about it in a seedy way.
Yeah, because it's funnier.
Yeah. That's like my main joke.
Cushions here for a reason, lads.
But that's my main thing, is like the main thing that people take away from my sets is that, like, even my dad, when he's trying to quote me, he'll be like, gobble, gobble. Classic Blahi.
Even my dad, when he's trying. Tell us one of Blaheen's jokes, gobble, gobble.
She says gobble, gobble. She gets them on stage, she says gobble, gobble, and that's it. She gets off.
Did you, so the experience of the album, for me watching the documentary, I thought it was fascinating, and you did seem to connect with a lot of people that were also passionate about talking about sex and in a really, really refreshing way.
Yeah.
What was your takeaway from the whole experience? Did you, What did you feel about it afterwards? Did you think it opened people's eyes more, or did you?
I was really, really, like, I wasn't surprised. I knew that this was something that was different for RTE, like that RTE doesn't do that much. I remember when I was like probably about 10 or something like that, RTE had a documentary called How the Irish Have Sex. And I remember that that was, and it was complete, that was a completely different kind of thing. It wasn't the same thing that we did, but like it was, I remember it taking Ireland by storm because everyone was like, RTE said sex.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? But like,
RTE said sex.
RTE said sex. Acknowledge that sex exists. You know what I mean? But
remember the famous clip of Gay Byrne whipping out a condom?
Yeah, like, well, exactly. You know, there's Christ. All of these moments that are kind of like on Reeling in the Year. Like, oh, wouldn't it be great if in 10 years I'm on Reeling in the Year? Like,
oh, that would be so
like,
good.
The title card for the Irish for Sex is my tits.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, that's another reason why I thought the whole thing was your idea.
Yeah, that wasn't my idea at all.
Yeah, did you consent to that?
I did, of course, yeah, right. They did ask. Because I was, basically, it was the usual stuff that I think this happens with comedians a lot. Like, it must happen with you, where you're doing something on camera as a kind of like, while you're getting ready, while someone's putting your mic on or something like that.
Yeah,
you're like, ah, oh, wagga wagga.
And then, no, like, it hasn't
like,
happened to me.
Like, but something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, oh, doing something silly. Yeah,
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 where you're like, oh, blah, 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 yeah, you yeah, know? Yeah. And then they're like, oh, that was really good. Can you do that again? And
yeah.
So it was very much like, oh, do you mind if, and as well, that was one of the only days that we had a male, I believe either cameraman or
DOP or something
like right. Most of the time it was an all female crew, which was amazing. Made a huge difference.
Okay, that did that really help with being open with the filming of it?
Definitely.
Okay.
100%.
Because
a lot of the
point.
People that we would have been filming and interviewing, that I would have been interviewing, were women. And maybe they're open about sex, but they wouldn't want to.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it's not that they don't want to say it, it's that they're like, will the man be okay if I say period? And it's like, yeah, no, you will. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's that there is a bit of a over carefulness with the guy and with the woman.
Yeah.
Even though there needn't be, but it's just that there's still.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That did make a difference. But then that day, I think it was a male cameraman who was going to film my tits. Which I mean.
The lucky bastard.
Lucky bastard.
The perks of the job, huh?
No, yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't. It doesn't matter. There was a man there anyway. If you can imagine such a thing. But yeah, it was, how was it? Yeah, it definitely opened my eyes to the fact that, because the storyline that we set up in it was that I have a big show coming up, Ask Bailga, and my comedy in English is quite sexual, and that I don't have the words to express myself
right,
the same way
right.
without like repeating Ganesh and
yes.
the stuff that we already
yeah,
know.
Yeah, the vocabulary isn't as...
Yeah. And as well to focus on the fact that there's a lot more vocabulary that's known about men and male genitalia
yes.
and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to kind of like see where all these words have gone. Did they ever exist? They did, which was great. And what happened to them and stuff like that. So
and
that's what we discovered.
And there's interesting points as to how some words just seem to die out at certain points. And all
yeah,
that.
Or like it's not even necessarily that they died out. It's that they had to because the writers of the dictionaries were men and they didn't ask women what...
Right.
Like these things were. So did they have a richness? Yes. But was it recorded? No.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of them are probably lost, but a lot of them are not. And we did go find them and it was so interesting. And we made some up as well, which was great.
Brilliant. I was just going to say, like that's such an amazing
thing.
Yeah, I
got to say girl dick on RTE.
Oscuelaga.
In both languages.
What's girl dick Oscuelaga?
There's only two. There's only two languages. Girl dick, Bud Banda is what we came up with.
Bud Banda.
So Blah Banda is a lovely term that we discovered through like, you know, going into...
Yeah.
It wasn't that we discovered it. It was an intellectual and an academic. And she had shown us Blah Banda as an Irish word for period, which means flower of femininity.
Ah, beautiful.
And bud means dick.
Yeah.
So that we came up with girl dick is bud.
Brilliant.
Bud, as in
beautiful.
Dick of femininity.
Amazing.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Shout out Ali O'Rourke.
Shout out Ali. And obviously the most important question before we get off this topic is, how did it help with the old dating life?
I wasn't having any trouble there. I was having trouble there.
No, it's fine. No, you be. You don't have to lie for the sake of having something to talk.
No,
but
well, I date
if you're flying this,
so
with
I date
the dating,
men, so of course I was having trouble.
I thought it was both.
The absence. I do. Well, women won't date me because I haven't dated women. It's like You have to have the job to get the job.
Really?
Yeah.
Jesus, there's an interview process for this stuff.
Maybe that's just what I'm telling myself to make myself feel better. Maybe I'm just not good enough for them. I don't know. It'll happen at some stage.
So, but basically it didn't change anything because you were flying it at the dating anyway.
I definitely wasn't flying it. It hasn't changed anything. People are interested in it. Like if they look me up or something and they see that I've done it. So they'll ask about it. But yeah, I mean, and then I suppose if I was dating someone with the Gaeilge, then maybe it would help. Just to have more, because that's a really interesting thing as well, is to be able to speak it in bed.
I was going to say, have you ever had the opportunity to do that?
Well, yeah, one of my first gig ever was through Irish, as in, like, it was a brilliant, fully Gaeilge gig, and that was what my set was about, was I was dating an American a few years prior, and he had asked me, can I speak Irish to him in bed? And I realised then that I didn't have the words for it.
Wow.
And then I realised that he's American and he doesn't speak it, so I can just say anything I want.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I did was the Our Father.
You can follow Blaheen or ask her out on a date. Or if you're a Gaeilgeor, please get in touch on Being Blah on Instagram. And check out her documentary on the RTE player, The Irish for Sex.
Please do. We love you. Tell now, RTE you want another one. Thank you.
Now time for a break. Sponsored by...
Sex.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Blaheen, you were so kind to come and help me out with this stupid idea that I had in my head of a sketch. I'm glad you loved it. Well, yeah, it's just, I suppose, yeah, I shouldn't be downing the ideas. But we anyway, for those of you, I mean, probably more people have seen that sketch that will listen to this podcast, to be quite honest with you, because it's in the 95,000 or something like that people have watched it, which is, I've never done anything like that before. I'm not much of a social media head, but thank you so much for coming on to it. But you've done lots of sketches down the years, but it was a mad experience, wasn't it? Did you enjoy it?
I loved it. The thing was, though, like, sure, as we've discussed, kind of, it was your idea. It was a well-written sketch. It was really, really good, but there was an element of seriousness, but it was more like silly.
Yes.
And then on the day, I was like, oh wait, maybe we should do a bit of serious. And then Ali went like full serious, like crying on cue, which I can also do, by the way. I'm always
just put that on the CV.
In case anybody, I can
cry on cue.
I'm pretty much always on the verge of tears, to be honest.
Except right now, where she's having a great time.
I'm having a wonderful time. I feel safe and secure. But there was an extra element of seriousness that was really.
I was taken aback.
Yeah,
like I was taken aback by in the moment where watching, I saw when Ali cried, and I was like, oh fuck, do you know what I mean? And I was just like, what's going on here?
I
tell you what was interesting for me, because I kind of detach from the whole thing once it's written, and other people are into it. Then it's like, okay, cool. And then when you're on the day to film you and write me, you're just getting stuck into that.
Yeah.
Everybody's like the same on that level, really. Mm-hmm. And Jared obviously did a fantastic job of directing it. But and you're both great actors as well. Like, it was just like it was. So for the end of the, it was Jared's idea to have it kind of, he wasn't sure if, so the joke, sorry, is about, if you haven't seen it, it's about two guys, they're meeting each other in the street, they can't express their emotions, they can't be honest about the fact that they're actually feeling really sad, and the one guy goes, rather than saying he needs a hug, there's this whole standoff thing, and he says, I need a twister, an ice cream, and it's, which is very laddie, and very kind of like, it was just a metaphor for how lads deal with stuff a lot of the time. When the real emotion is going on underneath, we'll tend to avoid on some level, and we don't even realise we're doing it.
Sad recounting.
The closing scene that I had written was just two of them sitting there licking the ice creams, and kind of a nice shot of that looking like two boys going, lovely day. They don't make me wibbly wobbly wonders anymore, do they? No. All right. But Jer came up with the idea of like, he said, maybe it's a hat on a hat with the joke, but if you get two girls coming in right at the end, and he shot that beautifully. I love the way, like, comedically how he set up that shot, and two girls straight away, how are you doing? I'm not great. And getting stuck into how they feel, giving each other a hug, and the two lads going, how do they do that?
Yeah.
Like, my six-year-old has watched that about 100 times now, and she's like, they just don't realise it'd be so much easier. Just to say for a hug, you don't need ice cream, Lance. That's what she's there.
So nice.
Like, every time that there's the beautiful cutaway where you're hugging each other, and you say, or as Ali said, one of you say, I really appreciate you as a friend. Yeah, I really value your friendship. Yeah. And it cuts the two of us like that, and my daughter goes, it could be so much easier. Because they don't realize it's so much easier.
So
they don't get it.
Oh, I love that. I'm really honored. Like, whatever about everybody else that's seen it. No, seriously, we love you.
It was a fun, because I was shocked. I am still a bit like taken aback by the response to it, because so many people have watched it, and so many people. But like, it's not just, it's the sharing, it's the commenting, and like, so many more men need to.
And
I thought it was
all.
I thought it was obvious.
Yeah. No, and like me too. Not in it. Like I thought that on the day that we were just doing a funny sketch about something obvious.
Yeah.
But yeah, obviously you've done something important, which is fab.
Well, yeah, but maybe. I don't want to, again, like, you don't want to build it up to... You don't want to build it up.
Something really important for the male community in Ireland, are you?
Well,
how do you feel about it?
I do. There is an element of like, I know... Well, to be honest with you, when Jer, Mark and I mean, it was such an honour to have Mark Hooverman.
Absolutely,
and it's like the guy was in Bloody Band of Brothers and he's coming in to do my sketch for the price of a twister.
So good as that. Yeah.
Mark and I had met the day before, and I had written a play that was comedy, but like tragedy. I'd written a one-person show that was in Smock Alley a couple of years ago and seen in her festival. And it was about a guy who was a single dad, but he couldn't fucking take the fact that the relationship with the mother of his child was breaking up.
Aww.
But it was really about a fear. And it was very funny, got lots of laughs, but then what I found interesting about that at the end of it, it was just 20 minutes for Seen and Heard, it wasn't the full thing. But friends, people that I knew came up afterwards, and they were like, because there was big laughs at the start, so we're comedians, we know how to get the laughs, we know how to write in the laughs into the play and all that stuff. But they're all kind of crying at the end of it,
and you're like, but it's funny.
But I was like, oh, but it, well, that, I was like, I knew it worked,
because that was the
point of that play. So I met Mark because I was like, I can't perform that again because it was too much on me, and every moment, even at the beginning, because I know what's going to happen, it was too close to the bone for me. And when the audience are crying laughing at the very start, I'm about to burst out into tears, because I couldn't hold the, you know, because I knew what was coming up next. And there's a big line in it where the therapist says to him, like, it's basically a character opposite a VO, and the therapist says, what are you so afraid of breaking up with your girlfriend? And he just goes, I'm not afraid of breaking up with my girlfriend, I'm afraid of breaking up with my child, and he screams. And that's a real big moment in the whole thing. But yeah, all the lads crying.
Yeah.
And what I definitely felt from that, from making that, was that there was a There's definitely a space out there for men that aren't getting, and we can see, the reason we know that this needs to be done more is because we can see all the toxic stuff. So men are going to lots of really, really bad stuff, but because they feel
and
part of something.
And it's actually not even that they're going to it. There's been a study done recently.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
They're being presented with it. So horrific and scary.
And so they go to, because they feel part of something, they feel they can fit into something, they feel like they have purpose, whereas there is another way. And so anyway, I met Mark. And I got on very well on a film that we were doing recently, and we were having a conversation about the disaster of our love lives in front of former Republic of Ireland striker Kevin Doyle, who's in the film as well. We were just all sitting in the green room. I could see Kevin going, what the fuck is going on?
Well,
because we were both like talking about the tragedy of how we can't make anything work, and I literally went on for a good 20 minutes, half an hour. I could see him going, fucking hell, what am I doing here? And I said, what about you, Kev? You're married, aren't you? And he was like, I just do what I'm told.
there is something to be said.
Because I think there's an element that's, anyway, it's, obviously men are different, but we do need that on some level as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really, really weird one, but there's a few couples that like, I don't like to do this whole like looking to couples that are celebs and like emulating them or wanting to be them or whatever. Yeah. I don't like that whole thing. But there is, it's a really weird one, really unexpected couple that at the moment I listen to their podcast. And it's two people that, to be honest, I don't know if we would even get along as people.
Right.
But like, they just work as a couple, and I'm like, these are couple goals. It's Spencer and Vogue, like Vogue Williams and Spencer Matthews.
I love them as a couple
in their podcast, right? I'm like, that is what I want. First of all, they slag each other. They're honest with each other.
Yeah.
They're able to like be open and stuff like that. They're able to take the piss. And he adores her.
Yes.
Like, and openly so. He's not embarrassed at all. He's like so dedicated to her. And that is like, that's it. That's what I want. Just be a simp for me. And then also be like able to take the piss out of each other.
Totally.
And be weird and angry and stuff like that.
But it's also, I think by looking at it, you can see two people that are working at it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, totally. Yeah. They're like, you know, he's literally, anytime that she even jokes about like, oh, when we break up, and he's like, oh yeah, I'm not worried about that at all. Yeah, okay. Well, all right, darling, but that's not gonna happen.
Oh my god.
It's so cute, but like, and it's again such a not, you wouldn't expect it. Especially
it's great that he's open,
since he can be such a fucking arsehole.
Yeah.
But I love that. Like, I like a really goofy, cheeky kind of thing. Like, there's a bit of a challenge there, but at the end of the day, so clear that he's absolutely
loyal.
Into her.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how couldn't you be? But anyway.
I know, she is.
Because she's a lovely personality, Stephen. That's why. Mark and I were talking about the disaster of our love lives. Mark is, for those of you who know, Mark Huberman, he's a fantastic actor. Mm. He was, one of the things he was in was in Band of Brothers, but he's a professional actor over 25 years. And we kind of hit it off. I met him, I think he just wanted me for a coffee, and I said, I might have this play for you might be into, because I'm not doing it. And I would like to finish writing it for somebody. I would like to write it for somebody and give it off to a director and all that, and go, you guys do what you want with it, but I would like to step back from it a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we had a chat about it, but ultimately those things are tricky until you get like the people to make the thing. And then I was like, I remembered I have the sketch called How Are You Doing? And I'd written that a year ago. Mm. It took me about 5 minutes to write. Mm. And I'd asked a couple of comedians to do it, and they said they couldn't.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
No, I don't think anyone had anything. I don't know. Some people just don't. It's funny. It's completely different now, because now I'm banging out the sketches and people are going, I'll do it, blah, 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 which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think you have to have relationships with people. Like, to be fair, I didn't know you that well.
No.
And you came on board and just like, you're into it. And
yeah, I was delighted to be asked, honestly.
Well, but there's like another thing that I think men struggle with is being open. Because Mark is an actor, he's definitely emotionally more open and all that kind of stuff. He was just like, I love this script. I love the concept.
Yeah.
And Jared was on board with it as well.
Yeah.
And the day that we met up, I shit you not, the morning we met up, you guys unfortunately had to wait a bit, even though like you'd come later. But before, the reason why we were late starting to shoot was because we started getting into it about, you know, Jared was going through some stuff, Mark was going through some stuff, and we were just the three of us here in this room just talking about it all before. And then Jared, we were about to do one of the first takes, you know, and he was just like, you know, you're just like, you're just throwing out the whole concept of this whole video by what you're doing right now. We're all talking about this stuff. And I was like, yeah, but I think you got to be able to be open and process these male issues in order to be able to make something like this.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely. Like, I mean, some of the best, I love television and I work in television and I watch TV as if it's like in the way that people read. But I also love reality TV. And some of the best, most touching moments that I've seen on Big Brother and stuff like that have been like the lads being like, when they one of them shares something and then everybody opens up and you're like,
yes.
And it's exactly where it's like, as you've said, it should be so, it should be different. It shouldn't be so hard. And it shouldn't be that the patriarchy and toxic masculinity have made it so that it is so hard for men to open up. And then that's as simple as it, or even on Love is Blind and stuff, like there's a few of the men that are just so open and they're like, come here, man. All right. And it's like, it's so wonderful. And obviously it leads to them being better.
Yeah.
For everybody.
One of my favorite, I narrated a couple of seasons of Love Island Australia, and in season 3, I think it was one episode where they all broke down to tears because this girl had been sent in and to break up a couple kind of thing, and she had to pick one guy, and he just felt so bad for the girl that they ended up being a couple afterwards. Mm. But he felt so bad for her. He started crying, but all the other lads were crying as well because he was struggling with this whole thing. It was like, it was so healthy.
I don't mean that now. I love when men cry. I love like when you can be in touch
with them. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Blaine. It was a pleasure, and I'd love to have you on again as much as that. It'd be great crack. Hit her up on Instagram at Blaheen. I presume that's your main output.
At Being Blah, Being Blah. On Instagram. I suppose it is.
That's your main one, isn't it?
I do need to get more active. And by the way, I was lying. My dating life is a shambles, just so you know. You've done yourself and Mark Huberman, apparently. I'm also looking for a little thing.
So you got to be able to cry. You got to be cheeky, goofy. You got to be Stephen Mullen. Let's move on with this.
Why have you invited me here today?
No, it's not like Jesus Christ. Can we end this here?
Yeah, that's good. All right.
That's a good way to end it. I'm going to cut it right there going, no, no.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.